Do you ever wonder what's happening behind the scenes of the multi-trillion dollar fashion industry? In the new podcast, Fashion People, Puck correspondent and 20-year fashion veteran Lauren Sherman and a rotating cast of industry insiders discuss what fashion people are really talking about behind the scenes of the star-studded business, from creative director switcheroos to M&A drama, DTC downfalls, and Met Gala mishaps. Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, is available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, it's Molly. I just want to let you know that we recorded this episode on Friday afternoon before the news broke that Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg had died at age 87. Obviously, we are going to talk a lot more about her, her legacy for working women in this country, and everything that this means on the show next week. Before we do any of that, we should acknowledge her life. I'm going to echo the thoughts of Ruth Franklin on Twitter, who says that according to Jewish tradition, a person who dies on Rosh Hashanah, which begins tonight, is a tzaddik, a person of great righteousness. More to come. Have a great weekend, everyone. Hello, everyone. It's Molly Wood. Welcome back to Make Me Smart Daily Edition. It's Happy Hour Friday, economics on tap. Woo-hoo. Nobody here is on tap, which is even better because, as you hear from that delightful voice, we have Rima Chres.
Hi, thanks
while
for having
Kai
me.
Is on vacation. Rima, yay!
Hi, I'm so excited. We were just...
Me too.
Yeah, we were just talking about this is the first time we've done a podcast together.
Yes, which is crazy because we both do podcasts and we do podcasts around each other. And then sometimes when I'm gone... Rima's here. And so, yeah, this is big. We're breaking the seal on a whole new era right now. Speaking of breaking the seal, I'm having Kirkwood brand Sauvignon Blanc. Costco.
Love it.
Costco wine is the best.
Does the job. I am doing a non-alcoholic beverage. Actually, earlier today, I was talking to the senior producer, Bridget, and she was like, what are you going to drink? And I was like, maybe Coca-Cola. And then she was like, I could tell that maybe that was a basic answer. So I upgraded.
I came within like a hair's breadth of a Mexi Coke. All right. So now that you've been peer pressured, what'd you make?
Which is also great because I want to experiment and try new things. So I made, I don't know if you can see it, but it is still in the NutriBlender. It is coconut milk, pineapple juice, and, some lemonade and sugar, lots of sugar.
That sounds delightful and extremely refreshing.
Drink.
And I like, and its comical size is the best part.
I love it.
I'm now realizing, having taken a sip of my Kirkwood Sauvignon Blanc, that it was a terrible mistake because I burned the top of my mouth badly on pizza last night. And it
classic.
Now hurts. So what I'm actually having, turns out, is this nice big glass of water.
It's always
good
to hydrate.
Non-alcoholic Friday. Why not? All right, what do you think? Should we do some news?
Let's do it. Yeah, let's talk about the news.
All right. What do you got?
Right.
I'm looking
gonna
go at first. Your link. Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to talk about something that has been on my mind. It actually came out last week, but it's very relevant. I'm still making headlines. And it's connected to the podcast that I host for Marketplace, This is Uncomfortable, because this week we talk about it, and I'll get to it in a minute. But basically, last week, an appeals court ruled that people in Florida with felony criminal records cannot vote unless they pay all of their court fines and fees. Mm-hmm. And I'm just really fascinated by this case. And just for some context, so this is a case that's been tied up in legal battles for a while now. Basically, in 2018, through a ballot initiative, Florida voters approved an amendment to the Constitution that said, we will allow, you know, people who have criminal convictions to vote as long as they did not commit a murder or a felony sex offense. And that was huge. Right. That was a landmark vote because that impacted more than a million people. But then the Republican-controlled legislator passed a law saying, well, you're going to have to pay court fees.
Wow.
And so since then, civil rights groups have been challenging it. It's been tied up in the courts. And it's just interesting, right? Like, advocates argue that this decision sort of runs counter to one of our fundamental principles, which is that Americans shouldn't have to pay to vote. They call it sort of a modern-day poll tax. And then the courts They argue that it's about sort of promoting, quote, full rehabilitation of returning citizens. And so this affects now about more than 700,000 former felons in Florida, because that's how many owe money to the courts. But here is like an interesting aspect of it, sort of like a catch-22, which I don't quite understand. But from what I've been reading, the state doesn't even have a centralized way to let people know how much they owe or to even verify it. And so it's like this incredibly bureaucratic system that's difficult to figure out. So it's just like, it's kind of a mess. And, you know, why this matters, as you know, Florida is a battleground state. So yep, any effort to sort of voting matters in Florida. And so, you know, any effort to block access, especially for low income people or people of color, can arguably have an impact. And the reason it's been on my mind, which is what I mentioned at the beginning, is that on the podcast, This Is Uncomfortable, this is where I put the shameless plug. We just came out with our first season, or our third season. Woo. And
it went that fast, that fast.
I know, right? Oh, man. I can't believe we're on the third season already. And so we, on this most recent episode that came out yesterday, we explored how money and power have always impacted who can and can't afford to vote, you know, sometimes quite literally. And so we look at the history of voter suppression and it's tied to economics. And it's just really interesting, you know, learning that there is a very long history of felony disenfranchisement in this country. You know, after the Civil War, we saw these laws targeting newly freed slaves, to keep them away from the polls and make sure white people were still in power. And I actually talked with this one expert who likened what we're seeing in Florida today to what were considered black codes back in Florida, which were basically these policies that turned petty crimes most likely committed by black people into felonies so that they would lose their right to vote. And so anyway, yeah, so it's pretty wild. He like shared this story actually of this one guy who, his name's Cuffy Washington. I'm just rambling right now, but it's really interesting.
I mean, there's a story.
There was a story of this one black man in Florida in the 1890s who he stole 3 oranges and was considered a felony. And so he forever lost his right to vote. And, you know, I think it's important to think about these moments and put it into context and think about the larger history. And, you know, there are plenty of examples, I think, that show how we've historically tied someone's economic status to their ability to vote. Yeah. And yeah, that's what we get and into the podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's super important. And it just is so, it shows you in some ways how, because it's about power and economics, it's not about, for lack of a better way to put it, it's not about anything else, right? It's not about protecting the political process. I mean, this is just sort of a straight, this appears to be, I mean, there's no reasonable argument for how in Florida this isn't anything but a straightforward attempt to gut a citizen-approved vote. Like the people said,
yeah, and that's,
you know,
that's the thing.
The people
right.
said, we think felons should be able to vote. And one political party then came along and said, only if they pay.
Right.
Which is, yeah. And they actually, this New York Times article that you linked to points out other cases where that is happening in various states. And yeah, I mean, yeah, we think, I don't know. I think like you could argue that the last 5 years or so in America have been an exercise in what happens when you take your democracy for granted. And so it's a very, timely podcast.
It's very timely. Yeah. Yeah. So check it out. It's a little different than what we usually do. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, definitely. And it's out today.
Yeah. It's out. It came out yesterday.
Episode. Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Okay. What you got going on?
Let's see. I am picking up on my favorite theme. You cannot manage what you do not measure. And all of the messing with COVID-19 testing that has been happening in this country, that is also, it's hard to put it in any other context than political interference. You may remember that there was a big change last month on the CDC website where all of a sudden the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, which has been pretty consistent on the idea that you have to test for a disease in order to know where it is, suddenly started recommending, issued new guidelines saying that if you didn't have symptoms, even if you had been in contact with a person infected with the novel coronavirus, you maybe didn't need a test, which caused everyone in the public health universe and me to issue a giant simultaneous WTF. Because right. we know that this virus in particular spreads a lot through asymptomatic people. And also, what?
Right. And, I don't gotta.
Yeah. Yeah. So accompanied by loud whispers of potential political pressure, the CDC has now rolled back those changes and once again stresses the very common sense opinion. The very common sense recommendation that anyone who has been in contact with someone who has coronavirus or COVID-19 should be tested.
Yes.
You should. You definitely should. Mm-hmm.
I would agree with that statement. Uh-huh. I know when you put this link in, I was like, what? Yeah. Right. Like,
yeah. I saw that. I've been waiting all day long. I saw that pop up in my breaking news alert this morning and I was like, you have got to be kidding me. Like if you were trying to undermine confidence in
right.
one of the most hallowed institutions in this country, you couldn't have come up with a better playbook than this.
Right.
And it's terrible.
That's what worries me, right?
And it's unfortunate. Yep.
It's like the CDC is losing its credibility by going all the flip-flopping, the back and forth.
Yeah. Even though it hurts my mouth a lot because of my big burn, I'm taking a sip of my wine. Because
drink.
It's just so
drink.
I wish I had a comically large smoothie, but I'll go with this one. So I guess on the plus side, science-based evidence wins today.
It's a good thing. Good.
Wear your mask, and if you come into contact with someone who has tested positive for COVID-19, try your darndest to get a test. Should we smile now?
I think, yeah, can we please?
Yeah.
What? Phew. Should I go first?
Yes, go for it. I'm looking at our chat, and people are like, oh, that actually just makes sense. What do you know?
Right.
Yes. Okay. Sorry. Smiling. Oh my God. I'm so glad you picked this. I'm so glad that you picked this.
Yeah. So I was like scouring the internet today and I was like, I just want to smile. Why isn't there anything that I can find? And
seriously.
Then I found this and I was like, this is pretty funny. So there was this, I'm going to pull up this link. So there was this reading, a table read of this movie. I have not seen this movie. I know it's a classic.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. What is it called?
By Fast the next Times time you High. Come back, what is it called?
I will have watched it.
Yeah, you have to.
I literally don't even know the premise.
It's cool. It's, you know, it's cool. Different generations represented on our podcast here today.
But I know that
I didn't see it when it came out because it was released in 82 and I'm not that old.
And you weren't born then.
Exactly.
Anyway, so there was this table read of Fast Times at Ridgemont High. It's a charity table read. And it has like all these celebrity A-list actors, famous people, John Legend, Julia Roberts, Jennifer Aniston, Brad Pitt. Jennifer Aniston, Brad Pitt. That was like one of the headlines because they were reunited in the same room. But
yep.
That wasn't even like the thing that people cared about. Shia LaBeouf, he was in this table read and he just stole the show. He was such a delight to watch. So basically, you know, when you do a table read, it's pretty like, you know, you don't really commit to the acting that much. You're just going through the lines. But Shia committed. And he's just like having a blast. He's like, where, like everyone is like in their manicured mansions on these sofas. And he's like in his truck with neon glasses and shirtless and smoking it up because he's playing, I guess, Sean Penn's character, who is a pothead.
Yeah. Jeff Spicoli.
Sure. And he just like took method acting to like a new level.
I'm like so excited for you to see this. I really am. Like, I kind of can't wait. I want you to live tweet you're watching. Of this.
Honestly, maybe
Spicoli.
I will. Spicoli. And so, yeah, so he's just this, like really committed to it. And like, you kind of have to watch it. It's hard to explain, but
yeah.
He's just clearly high.
Yeah.
Great.
Super high. But then maybe also acting even higher. Like,
right.
It seems like what seems to have thrilled people, and I have to now go and watch this because it does seem like what thrilled people about this was the sheer danger of it, because he seemed super high. Like, I saw some little clips on Twitter. Yeah. And you really, I assume watching it, you were just like, at any moment, like, I guess one time he wandered off screen and you're like, is he gonna come back? Like, is he acting or not acting or somewhere in between? Yeah.
But honestly, also, I watch it and I'm like, he's having a good time. And that makes me happy.
Just seeing them all on Zoom too was just kind of amazing. Like, it's so accessible. You're just like, oh, look at your walls and your outfits and stuff. And apparently Jennifer Aniston's skin will always be that good.
She doesn't.
It is the rare, like, celebrity news these days that can actually break through, and this one really was pretty fun.
Right. Like, usually I would have just rolled my eyes at this, like, oh, whatever. But it was kind of entertaining, the few clips that I saw. I don't know if I'm going to watch all of it, but the glimpses.
But you are going to watch the original, which will be amazing. It will be amazing.
Obviously.
I have to give a hearty shout out to Science Lizard, Sci Liz, on Twitter, who shared this with me, and it is a blog post by the Blogess. And I don't know if you follow the Blogess, so I'm just going to issue this warning now. She swears even more than I do in real life, which is a lot. So prepare yourself for some F-bombs. But here's what the Blogess did today. She just compiled a metric crap ton of cute TikToks and put them all on one page. Like, to basically just be like, here is the supersized, the vente, the grande, like the biggest possible collection of cute and funny TikToks you will ever see in your life. She's like, because I feel like you deserve this. And it's amazing.
I love that. I love when people curate things like that for me.
I mean, right? She's like the librarian of smiles right now.
Yeah.
And it just goes on and on and on. I mean, the little scroll bar on the side is just, it's like incredible. It's hard to pick a favorite, but if I have to, I'm going to go with the little chihuahua who has taught itself to cry in order to beg for food. It tears up. Wow. Like, it literally, like, you see him swallow. You see this dog, like, swallowing and, like, getting all teary. Like, I just really wish I could have some of your cracker. It would be amazing. I mean,
what a smart dog. They're smart.
He's like, well, I notice that whenever the children cry, they get everything they want.
I noticed this pattern.
So honestly, thank you to the people on Twitter who go and find wonderful things to make us smile. I mean, what a gift. That's awesome. And obviously, thanks to the Blogess for putting them all on one page.
For doing that. I know. I just watched one and I started laughing.
Right?
So I know what I'm doing tonight.
And there's like 11 more. Oh, so great. So great. Rima, you're so great. Thanks for coming on the show.
This was fun. I love doing podcast. The Friday ones.
Friday ones, really. It's really a delight. It's just like a, it's a like a shake it off kind of.
Right. I'm going to drink this smoothie.
Yep.
I'm going to be done with my day.
I'm going to drink something not so tart later and be done with my day. And we will see you actually back here again on Monday. So thanks, everybody. Take care of yourselves this weekend. Stay safe. Get a lot of sleep. Yes. Be nice to each other. You did
watch awesome. TikTok videos and drink smoothies?
Watch TikTok videos.
All right. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Rose Conlin. Tony Wagner is our digital producer. Ben Heathcote produces video with the help of our video intern, Ethan Parrots. And Erica Phillips writes our newsletter and the Make Me Smart skill on your smart speaker.
Sorry, that's the special Ethan Parrots sound effect.
Because we love Ethan. I love Ethan. He's a great guy.
I agree. Today's program was engineered by another great guy, Charlton Thorpe, who I call The Wizard. Our theme music was composed by Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez. The senior producer is Bridget Bodner, and the executive director of On Demand is Satara Nieves, who will probably never again go away for an entire week. She's like, what did you do? You hired Ethan. You gave him a soundtrack.
Hope you're doing well, Satara.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.